Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this day revealed to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I the First. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari. In the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I the First. This is not a calling for the United States. It's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call to set our people free.
Set that people free.
It's a call.
Our right. We don't want a few token handouts.
Tonight we want to share with everybody our events over the weekend and what has been going on in our 2021-2022 convention, our Unity convention. We are so excited. We got a lot to tell you about the last 2 days, July 16th and 17th, and what has transpired, what it means for you, and what it means for yours truly. We're going to talk about that too tonight. And so we want everybody to get ready, call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know that local number 36 of the Ethiopian World Federation is on the air. Get ready. We got something to talk about tonight.
Cold, I cannot be but not so. Perhaps Productions Network, collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, and the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
All right, all right. Welcome back. You're listening to the Ethiopian World Federation Local Number 26 and our weekly broadcast of what's going on inside of the local and the happenings inside of the Federation. We are excited to share with you that we've just come out of our 2021-2022 annual convention, our unification convention, where we've come together from all around the world. Truly, this year we had an international convention with many countries and locals involved that participated in a democratic process to elect an international council to govern the affairs of the Ethiopian World Federation, for which we all belong to, which we are all members of. If you're a black person anywhere in the world, then you are a part of the Ethiopian World Federation. You remember, you just don't realize it yet. And one day it will hit you that you need to participate in the exercising or taking advantage of your divine inheritance. Say amen to that. So we are excited. We had an opportunity to meet a lot of people. We want to shout out all of those that we've met, that I had a chance to speak to. I just want to take this time because yours truly was elected as president, and which is something that we are so very proud of. And I appreciate everyone that had confidence in me and what we were doing. And we are just determined to continue to build. We're determined to continue to move forward. We continue to, we're committed to continue to spread the word and let people know, well, there is something is here for you. And that's one of the big things that people just don't really know about the Federation. And what is there? The Federation is an umbrella. We are finally getting back to the place where we can be that covering for Black people around the world, and in particular in the diaspora, and in more specifically, we're here within the States and dealing with some of the things that that are going on. We need a Ethiopian World Federation. I never forget, and I often talk about the fact of how Dr. Robinson, who's on, we're going to bring him in a minute, had me listen to this interview with the police officer, and the police officer was talking about that they have quotas within the police department, and you have to arrest X amount of people. If you don't arrest X amount of people, they feel as though you're not doing your job. And so that they immediately go and target the Black community. Even if they are in the white community, they will go to the Black community to make their arrest to meet their quotas. So the question was, well, why is that? And the police officer went on to explain that, well, within the white community, it's a good chance that whoever we arrest, they have backup, they have connection. Dad is a lawyer, their uncle's a judge, their brother's a congressman, councilman, alderman. And so it is harder to make the arrest and the conviction stick, and because there are so many ways that they can get out of it because of the support system that they have, and that they would go into the Black communities, into the poor communities, and arrest poor Blacks and minorities because they know they do not have a covering. They know they do not have an umbrella. There is no refuge. And that the odds of them being connected to someone that is making these decisions are a lot lower in the urban communities, in the Black communities, in the poor communities, than they are in the other communities. So that's where they go to do their numbers so they can keep getting their paycheck. They are constantly using and exploiting poor people for their own gain. Because now when they go in, they make the arrest. The cop is making the arrest so that he don't get fired. Okay? And why is that? Because they're depending on these arrests for the money, even if it don't stick. You got fees and all of these things. Okay? And if it stick, of course, there's money involved. I never forget, I went into the department of to pay my ticket, and on the wall where you pay your ticket at, they had a menu that was looked like an ice cream menu or something of that nature, and it had all the tickets, and then they had all the areas, and then they had all the prices next to it. So you know whatever your ticket said, how much you were going to have to pay. And I'm like, wow, would you look at this? They got a menu. They got this all down to a science. I never forget the police officer. One police officer told me that that's how they fund the police department, from traffic stops. They got equipment that can go around, ride past a car and see if the car got insurance or not. Boom, they stop the car. All right, because the computer says that the car don't have insurance. They stop the car. They got to hook up with the towing company that come to get the car and take it away. Then you got to pay fees to get it out. All right. Then they write you tickets. So that's money that's coming in the municipality. The police officer told me that's how they make their money. I was in the police car. We was riding by. Every time it went off, he was like, oh, see, that person's insurance expired. I can get them. I would get them if he wasn't in the car. Boom. Oh, see, that person's insurance expired. That's how they make their money. So they go into these communities and they exploit the poor people. During Katrina, a lot of people don't know this, during Katrina, they say that in Louisiana, the crime rate went up. And why was that? Because they got a system, number one, that within Louisiana, that if you're not able to bring charges against someone within 6 months, then you got to drop the case. The case is automatically dropped and you're gone. And they know that it'll take a long time to get some cases done. But after Katrina, when the flood came and wiped out the infrastructure where there used to be streets and parking meters, that residual effect that the streets and the parking meters were gone meant that the municipality did not have enough in the budget to hire prosecutors and lawyers and to prosecute these cases, because this is how they funded them. They funded these departments with traffic violations, parking violations. And that's how they paid the lawyers, from the money that they was getting from these traffic stops. And so after Katrina, that money was all wiped out. They wasn't getting that money any longer. And so therefore the residual effect was that the crime rate went up. But the ideal is, what my point is that they target the poor black communities and put them under this pressure to continue to feed the system that continues to come after them. And so the Ethiopian World Federation is that umbrella that you can come to get rescued, where you can have somebody on your side, where you can have someone that go to bat for you as we begin to establish who we are and our relationship here in America and how we ought to be dealing with the authorities here in America, based on old treaties and agreements that have been put in place when the Federation was first started. So we got something to talk about. We want everybody, call a friend, call a neighbor. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We got people in the queue. We're going to bring them in, get them a part of this conversation, and talk a little bit more about our wonderful convention that we just had. Don't anybody go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Holy lifts the last of the first and calling all of his children. Bring forth the manifestation of a divine work. The glorious land, you know, such a man. Yo, hey, by going to Rasta family, I hear such a man.
It's calling all his children to build a city now. 500
manifest the land on the clear. The center of the earth, the ark of the covenant is near, where the child was born, wearing the new name, God and earth. Haile Selassie is the name. Holy Shashamani, land of milk and honey. Selassie calling, families, are you ready?
Back, you're listening to Local 26 of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated with our lovely host and wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez, who's not with us tonight. She's off attending to other business. Maybe we'll get a surprise visit, but she's handling other things. And so we are always excited to have with us one of our members within Local 26, who is also on the Executive Council, the wonderful, great Ron Robinson. We're going to bring him in this time. The great Rev Ron, your mic is open. Welcome, welcome.
We were talking about the convention.
We were talking about the convention and what's been happening and how we're growing and how things have come together. I just want to know, what are your thoughts or things you would like to share with our listening audience about the future of the Federation and the convention that we just had?
Well, you know, it's awesome. It was a great experience. Sometimes some things you don't expect, the agility and the acceleration of your heart. You know, when you're involved in something, you don't know how you're going to react. Did not know how, you know, the voting was going to turn out. Did not know how things were going to configure. Brother, who is now the honorable second vice, Brother Ruben Cushy had called me and congratulate me, and he said something to me that resonated. He said, we have a very diverse executive council right now, and that resonated with me because you know, sometimes people cannot see, and this is what I see in the Federation itself, bringing together brothers and sisters from all over the world. One of the most complicated things is to bring people together, whether they live in the same country or the same state, the same city, the same street. When you're dealing with people, it is very difficult. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says something very important. Mm-hmm. It says there's power in unity. Unification is power. Mm-hmm. Power in unity, because that I remember stories of poverty in South Carolina, but when somebody came up with some rice, somebody came up with some peas, somebody had a chicken, somebody had some collard greens, somebody had some candy yams, somebody had some lemonade and made lemonade water, and together they fed each other. That's power and unity.
Right.
We feed off of each other's ability. And sometimes, you know, I watch some perspectives in terms of people that might not generate the same kind of unity that is necessary, but I hope that people will get to learn the power of unity, especially when you're talking about, it's very powerful when you talk about brothers in the Caribbean, brothers in Africa, brothers in Europe, brothers in Asia, brothers in the Americas. We getting together, you know, because one thing about it is reporting and understanding what's happening in each of one of our diversities. I mean, we talked about yesterday, they talk about something going on in England with black people, and the attorney was able to respond that we are working on it. You know, there are people that's on it. Mm-hmm. So it shows that we need that communication across the world. I need to know what's happening in the Caribbean. The Caribbean needs to know what's happening in America. America needs to know what's happening in Africa. Africa needs to know what's happening in Europe. We need to know. We need to gather together. You understand what I'm saying? People come and take over and do what they do when you don't have unity, when there's a weakness. The Bible says, make no way for the devil. And primarily what he's saying is, don't make room for him to come into your heart. Don't make room for him to come into your house. Don't make room for him to come into your conversation. Don't make room for him to come into your community, your race, your people. And we let him come in all the time, and not understanding that, you know, it's better to sit down. One thing about us as the so-called Africans, they have the elders. The elders sit ahead of the village. And when something is wrong, the elders sit down and they reasoning, they talk about it, and they come back with a resolution to the village. And the village young women and young men accept the results, and they come to commonly change the community by coming to a common denominator. And that's what the Federation is. The Federation is an opportunity for black people all across this world, all across this globe, the diaspora, whatever you want to call it, to come together and reason for ways in which we can go forward. Because we're not going to move forward individually. Yes, you cannot, and I'm a testament to this, you can obtain individual success. And I've said this many a time, and I'm going to say it again. Though your bank account size might change, the digits in your bank account might change. Maybe you get a couple of letters behind your name, your academic status might change. But social conditioning is not going to change until we change. That's another kind of change. That's another influx of ways that we can implement things. You talk about the gentleman, the officer, we're talking about racism, black people, because black people had no power, this, that, and the other. But when you think about that in a contextual sense, we do have people to call. Maybe the power have been taken away from us in this government, in this constitution, and these laws, and the way it's structured. They have taken away our ability to have the level of power that we have, because why? The judges that are black have no input, no change, no power. It's bad to say, but that's what happens when you seclude yourself in a system that's not there for you. See, the system's not there for us. We have black judges. We have black lawyers. I got brothers that served in corrections and police department for years, but I probably can call on them like a white man could call on his brother. You understand what I'm saying? Because they know that black
right.
that
he,
black
he, boy, did, that he black still boy. Probably don't have the power that the white guard has. You follow me? The black guard probably don't have the
right.
power. With
there's a sister
that the white officer
has. Right. There's a sister spent 25 years in the police department. She basically got every rank besides commissioner of police. She wrote a book. She said, listen, people don't understand the level of racism that police officers of color have to face every day in their challenge and their job. So when you call a black police officer friend or family member and tell them, listen, I'm over here with this and this and that and that and the other, they got to consider what happened with you. Whether or not by supporting you, is that going to cause some damages or blemishes on their report, on their background, on their job description, on their history at the job? Understand? My brother broke it down to me. Is they don't get the same kind of consideration if their brother go kill somebody and they go there to support him. They're not going to get the same kind of results from internal affairs that a white officer would get. So that's where the depleting of the power
right.
comes in. That's why it's so important for us to stick together, because if we stick together, we overcome those circumstances. That's the thing that we don't understand, the importance of together. And sometimes God will put you in a position where you have to see that you need someone else other than yourself. Do you know where I'm coming from? God would humble you to the point where he'll make you see that it ain't all about you and you can't do this by yourself. A lot of us get angry and say, you know, hell with everybody else. I'm going to do what I got to do. And there's a lot of us, you can find millions of black men who are individually successful, okay? But since they happen to have a collective success, the success is depleted to nothing because there's only one
right.
person. It's
right.
like when you go to the court, when you go down
right.
to the government by yourself and say, listen, I want my rights, I want this and I want that. They look at you and say, okay, yeah, we heard you. Take his name and number, and we'll get back to you, okay? But if you go down there with 1,000 people, 100 people, 500 people, they're gonna listen to you differently. I remember when they marched, when the Million Man March came out, everybody was against it. Oh, it's Farrakhan, it's this, it's that, and, you know, it was all this talk, and a lot of the black congressional committee members, Congressional Black Caucus, oh, I'm not going out there, you know, this and this and this. It's Farrakhan, it's going to be talking about this. When he went out there with a million or 2 million or 3 million, whatever it was, black men who were peaceful, who was together, who was unified. There was no ifs, ands, buts. There was no high yellows and low blacks. There was no hierarchy. We came together in unity. And when we went out there, the power of our presence brought every congressional, senator, congressman, a councilman, anybody you can think of that was in government came to see and came to say something to us as black men in the millions. They didn't expect for us to come in that large numbers, and they didn't expect to see the multitude of men that came from diversity backgrounds. There was Rolls Royces there. There was buses there. There was hoopties there, motorcycles, bicycles. We came, buses. We came from every place and everywhere, and we stood strong together in unity, and they were scared as hell. The system is scared for the black man to unite. Do we understand that? So the World Federation, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, has that ability to bring us together. And as you're doing now, an ingenious perspective of bringing all organizations together under one umbrella, because it's about time for us to stop having our own little show. and have a
right.
a grand finale where all of us come together.
Right.
It's time for all the Black Israelites and the Moorish community and all these the Nation of Islam and the Federation of the Black Baptists and the Federation of the Pentecostal and all this stuff. Put that aside because God ain't never said, because in my name, because you Baptist, stay over this corner, because you Pentecostal, stay there, because you Muslim, because you
right.
God ain't never said that. He ain't never told us to separate. He said unity.
Right.
The Bible said unity.
Didn't know
is
that
Bible. Dig it. He
right.
said,
right.
when you come together, when we talk about the Pentecost, what happened at the Pentecost? They were all together in unison, praising one thing. In the upper room, praising one thing. Can we learn that? Can we learn that? Can we learn to put aside all of these idiosyncrasies, all these other things that is significant, unimportant, and come to that important?
I think that we've been brainwashed by our colonizers to fight each other and to come against each other. And you know what I mean? And we've been so brainwashed into believing that we think that it's part of our nature, and it is not. If you look through history, you look at the big dynasties that we built in Egypt and in Africa. You look at the Timbuktus and what we had in Samaria, and we all see what we had in Egypt. We didn't have this that crab mentality. That's something that the colonizers put on us. Why? Because it is to their advantage to keep us separated. It's to the advantage. As long as we can stay divided, then they can rule. Because they know, do not let Black people come together. If Black people come together, we got a problem. How Bernie Mac just said before he died? Problem.
we have a misunderstanding. But you know something about it is that we know that. I think a lot of us know that. But I think I always said to myself, there got to be a common denominator, something that we all can agree to come together on. And I always say, the children, let's talk about, you know, I want to leave here and always think about it. When you first, and every father can join me in this. When you first had your first baby and you put him in your hand, your arms, he or she, you felt like the world have to be conquered. You felt like you have to do something to make the world better for that baby. You're going to do everything, work every job. If you had to work 5-10 jobs to give that baby everything he or she needed, you felt like you could conquer the world. And that's what I said to myself. Maybe the children, if we can understand that we need to come together for the children, we need to prepare a world. Like Dr. King say, it's not based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character and their contribution to society. And we keep contributing to society and getting nothing back. That's the big major problem as well. But we have to learn to come together. And the final analysis, you know, the truth about it all, if we don't come together at some point, if we don't make some major changes, our children, our grandchildren, and so forth and so on, is going to face the same devastating situation that we face, because the plan, from what I can say, is to regress, is to go back. Trump made it very clear. Those people that for him made it very clear. They want niggas in the back and white people in the front, and they're gonna do everything they can do. If they got to tear down the damn government, they're gonna do that so they can go back to the old ways, so that we don't have to be standing strong. So that right there should tell us.
Right.
The work that we have to do in order to secure our position, in order to make it better for our children. I don't know if nobody ever sees this, but we have to be, it doesn't take, you have to be a brain surgeon from Harvard. You have to be all that intelligent to see that if we don't do something together to change the situation now, I regret what's going to happen for the children as we go on, because I can see right now, you can see the tremendous amount of killings. I never, ever seen 12 and 13 years olds walking down the street and just shooting some kid. Never seen that.
Yeah.
12, 13 years old, right. The time you see them, it was a hand battle. You ain't never seen guns in the hands of 13 and 11-year-old kids. Where the guns coming from? Their mamas are on social services. Their mama ain't got no money to buy a $300-$500 gun. Where these kids getting these guns? Anybody ever thought about that? Where are these little kids running around here with Mac 9s and all kinds of high condensity weapons and assault weapons, shooting 30-40 bullets at a time. Assault rifles and shooting 30-40 bullets at a time. Where do these kids get this stuff from? How do they learn to hold it and pull it? Where this stuff is coming from? It ain't coming from us. It ain't coming from us. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't coming from our community. Yeah, we might be selling it, we might make a little money off it, but we ain't initiating it. It ain't produced or manufactured. The NRA has a lot of they have a lot of things they're doing, which is illicit. It's an illicit organization. They already told the government, already said it's an illicit organization. The way they're pondering on this continuous gun battle, to have guns in every freaking person's hand, and it was not the black man's hand that they were thinking about, okay? But if we don't wake up, if we don't understand what's going on, if we fall asleep at the wheel, a car gonna crash, okay, y'all? So we have to get up and understand that we have to come together, and I pray to God that the Ethiopian World Federation can be that catalyst, can be that conduit to bring people together, and I think Honorable President, your idea of reaching out to brothers and sisters in a nonpartisan way. We ain't looking to be your God. We're not trying to get you to church. We're not trying to convert you from your religion. We want you to come as a black man and a black woman that want to make the world better for your children. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, case closed. That's what we want, and that's what we need. You know. And I will put that idea.
Right.
Everybody I talk to, every black man I come in touch with, and you know, some new people that just now know me, and I'm telling them that they're like, wow, man, you talking to them. Yeah, because you need to hear this, brother. You know, every brother, you call me, we come in contact, you calling me for one thing, and I tell you another thing, because why? I need to let you, we need to wake up everybody. Whether they lack it or not, we need to, when they want to hear, when they don't hear it, we got to keep pushing this. You know, brothers and sisters got their own little agendas. Everybody got their agenda. Everybody wants something else, you know, but that ain't going to work, because your agenda is not going to be pushed if the conditions are not conducive. A government is a society, is ran and controlled. If the government has no good for you, listen to me, people. I don't care how many times you go to Harvard. I don't care how many times you go to the bank with $1 billion. You're not going nowhere. Because you got your finances. One thing I learned is my financial status, my academic status, ain't got a hell thing to do with how government is planning to destroy me. They can give me $1 billion and kill me tomorrow. Let's go and look at some of these people got killed. Now they had 12 leaders that was killed because they went against the grain. Why? Nobody to back them up. Nobody to watch their back.
Right.
They get into a situation.
Right.
They buy themselves because everybody's running for the stupid thing. If we don't watch out, the good brother, we talking about good leaders and good brothers and things of this sort. They are young men and women coming up, and they are pushing for the right thing. And if we don't protect them, the system is coming after them, because they do not want us to unite. They do not want us to wake up, and they do not want us to know what they have done for the last 400 years in secretness. The brother told me the other day that I just find out Willie Lynch was a black man.
Listen, when you shared that with me, it blew my mind. I was half asleep when you said it, and then I woke up. I'm like, what?
Isn't it crazy?
But you know what? I mean, the sad part about it is that for some reason, there's always been a number of us that you can count on that is always going to side with the colonizer, with the oppressor, for one reason or the other. It may be that he agreed with the oppressor, you know. He thinks good.
They probably offered him. Wow. They probably made him an offer financially. He couldn't refuse. You know what I'm saying? But check this out.
I mean, listen. But go get your little 30 pieces of silver.
Right. Exactly. But check this out. What if we was together, and he was conscious? He belonged to a conscious movement, and there was people like a Dr. Winborn and a Malcolm X, and people were educating his brain. Just keep educating him, keep touching him. See, a lot of these brothers that's intelligent and wealthy and all that, they become lonely because they feel like, you know, there's nothing in the black community to support what I'm doing. You dig where I'm coming from? So they separate themselves.
Right.
But what if they get, and this is what the system don't want, y'all. They don't want conscious brother and sister to magnetize the mentality of a brother and sister who have been colonialized, who have been marginalized, who have been, I mean, some people are colonial, some people are used for their Pacific talents, and they're getting paid lovely. And they will only get paid, and that's it. But there's an end to that. Because a man will give you money, but he's going to control you. There are some brothers and sisters got sent scientific brains, and they are academically excellent, above and beyond, and they're used for their intelligence. Joe Washington Carver put this country on the map as far as science is concerned. They used him and abused him, okay, until he died with no kind of structure, no family, no relations, no nothing. This is what I'm saying to us. Our intelligentsia, our people, our young people that's smart, that's coming up and ready to make change, they will be beguiled by the system. They're not going to let them challenge them. If we don't grab them and we don't get to them, it's going to be the little 10-year-old brother wrote a book about every slavery experience on his own ideological thinking as a child, and he wrote it so other children can understand. Smart young brother. But if we don't grab him now, if we don't unite together and get these young brothers and sisters who are ready to move forward, who are intelligent and have the ability to do this, brothers, sisters, you know, buyer beware. That's the best I can say. Thank you so much.
Buyer beware. Buyer beware. All right, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to go down the line. We're going to open another mic. The clock is ticking on us real fast. I didn't realize we almost at the 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to keep it moving. 914-914-979. We're going to open your mic. 914, get ready. 914-979. Welcome to the call. You listen to the Ethiopian World Federation Corporate Local Number 26. Your mic is open.
Yes, sir. And thank you for allowing me to come on the call here and to speak about one of the main factors that our people really need to, you know, become in oneness with is unity. Because once we start to come together in unity, my brothers, it's going to definitely change and uplift our community. But if we keep, you know, what's the old saying, divide and conquer? If we keep being divided, you know, whether it's because of the, unfortunately, the good old nigger hate music, you know, listening to that, or whether it's, you know, the brainwashing of, you know, telling our people that we shouldn't trust each other.
Let me cut you off right there. Can I add something to what you were saying right there? That when you said the nigga hate music, right? So you got the SEC that control what comes over the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could not sing a song about killing white people. You couldn't sing this. All right, take this out. All right, so think about it like this. Rick Ross. Everybody know Rick Ross, right? Rick Ross got a whole bunch of songs, a whole bunch of music, all about killing this one, killing that one, this, that, and the other. But he had one song when he said in the song that he slipped the girl a Molly. Right?
Hmm.
And everybody lost their mind. Because he slipped the girl Molly. I think that's is a drug, a sexual drug or something like that, or a date rape drug or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The SEC, there were so many write-ups that they were taking it, they were bleeping it out of the song. But all in the song, they're talking about, you know, you can kill this and this, that, and other, kill this nigga, roll up on me, all, you know, all the gangster rap, that's all good. They decide with image, they decide what message they want to let out. So it's to their advantage. It's to their advantage to allow music about killing black people to resonate and to get into the minds of those other people that's engaged in that. To me, that's all a part of the brainwashing of the oppressor. Because if he can get us to kill each other, think about the bullets he can save.
Right. Plus it doesn't make it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off when you said that. It triggered that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, that's one of the things that we need to, as a people, come together in unity and erase that negative song, negative rap music from listening to, especially with our children. Because if our children are constantly listening to the fact that we should be killing and hating and not trusting and not want to deal with one another, and that we're worthless people that should, you know, not even try to ever do anything in our lives, then that's going to keep our people down on low. And that means that our kids are going to start these gang wars, which they are starting now again, and start killing each other again. And these are things that we as a people need to say, enough is enough. We do not want to accept this in our community anymore, and we need to stop this madness in regards to this crazy music that's being played in our community. But right now, people aren't saying anything about it. They might be complaining in a corner over here, over there, but in regards to making any kind of effort to stop these guys with their music companies from putting this stuff out, and even approaching the brothers and the sisters that are singing this music to say something to them about this, that needs to be done as well, because it's definitely having a negative impact on our people. And that's one thing that we need to stop. And the other thing is to really look at, you know, our true identities as a people. You know, we've been told that, you know, being that racism or what's been said, you know, in regards to what a nigga is a worthless piece of crap. And we don't need to, like, absorb that information and actually believe it and go with it. Because, you know, even when you go into the schools, I've worked in the schools for about 13 years, and when we were trying to tell the kids that they could become possibly youth that could grow into adults and, you know, making, you know, hundreds of thousands or possibly even millions of dollars, many of them just said, what? Me as a black person can make what? Are you kidding? No, we can never do that. And the funny thing about it, we brought in, you know, great opportunities through entrepreneurial programs where we had real estate people, we had, you know, even professional airplane pilots, we had engineers, we had lawyers and doctors that came in and herbalists to talk to the youth and tell them that they could do that. And then before we got started with it, we asked the kids in the different classrooms, how many of y'all would like to get involved with this and believe that this is something that y'all could do? And we only had like one or two or three kids in the classroom max that would even raise their hands and say, yes, I would be interested in dealing with it. So the thing about it is when a society has been brainwashed for such a long time that tells them that it's a waste of time for you to try to, you know, do these things, we need to reprogram the thinking of our youth and even our adults in knowing that we are capable and that we are worthy of achieving great and wonderful things, not only just the financial, but even the spiritual. And as the brother said, it doesn't have to be where you got to be a Christian. It doesn't have to be where you got to be a Muslim or you got to be a Jew or a Hebrew to come together for us to deal with each other. Look, regardless of that, we got to break down the brick walls of hatred that we have religiously as well. Because many times, just as you guys were saying earlier, hey, if you're not a Muslim, don't even come around in this circle to our meeting because, we, you know, actually we'll kick your butt out with a broken leg or broken arm. And then you hear the same thing if you're not a Christian or if you're not a Jew. And we need to put all of that to the sideline and come together in spiritual unity. But one of the things that, you know, I've seen coming together in spiritual unity, which is a great thing, it gives us an ability to make some real positive and tremendous great things to happen. But the bottom line is, really, you think that if we come together praying or meditating or, you know, saying affirmations or different things that are supposed to be, you know, powerful spiritual tools, if we use those tools together that we could actually make some positive change? Are you serious? Get out of here. We can't do that. But that's the whole thing. When you're thinking down low, right, that's where you're going to go. But if you start to think right on high, that's where you can start to fly. You and your goals and dreams can start to fly. And that's what we need to do. Reverse that old thinking down low.
Oh, right. But you know what? You know what, Brother Ben? Sometimes that's hard. You know, sometimes that's hard to reverse that old thinking. We get locked in that old paradigm, and it's so hard to move into a new thought, you know, a new way of thinking. And people resist things that are new. I mean, that's natural. I do that too. We all do that until we get to a level of comfortability where we think that, okay, so now I can let this in a little bit closer. We do that with everything. We do that with people. You know, we decide how close we want to let them come. We're going to keep moving over because we're over the, we passed the halfway point. We want to go out before we take a break and pay some bills. But we're going to open up another mic. Get ready, 929-206. We're about to come to you, 929-206. Get ready, Ethiopian Wealth Federation, Incorporated, local number 26.
Give
good
thanks.
Good evening, 929-206. Give thanks, Hotep. God bless you, brother. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. Listen, you know, this is something else. We've been taught that we were lesser than anything or anybody until we wind up really believing that we were devalued. So we wind up devaluing ourselves. And then when we, as my father said, you put a badge on a monkey, it becomes a gorilla. Now we're looking at each other as the enemy is looking at us, devaluing one another. Okay, that's why sometimes if I want to be arrested, let a white cop do it, you know. The other thing is that within these past 5 years, 10 years, which what has been resurging and people are becoming woke, which is the Republicans hate those words, you know. All right, because coming to an understanding, a knowledge of the truth, you know, that has never been taught to either side, you know. All right, but just saying one side has the power, the other side is less, you know, than you. And with Black Lives Matter and these other organizations, Black Vote, you know, and even the police that we relinquish that idea and say, yeah, we got to protect one another and protect our communities, but we don't have to do this, you know. So the change, you know, in the racial paradigm, these kids, and it's going to come from, it's going to come, it's already changing. It's going to come from all these kids, white, black, Asian, what have you. You know, now you got the Puerto Ricans, you know, talking, Hispanics talking about their history. You know, in this country, you know, saying it came way before ours were here, but they were here. They owned, they had charge of half the United States. All right, you know, and so on. And so the good thing about, I'll say, the nations getting together against this minority enemy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that we are saying, well, we've all been put through this from one aspect to another in different manners. Slavery itself was something totally different than some of what these other people have went through when they were being conquered. All right, we were being conquered in Africa, West Africa, you know, Congo. And stuff, bringing religion, bringing other things into place, you know, and making us Christians or now, you know, or Muslims or Moors, because they were also slave managers, slave holders, and, you know, and so on and so forth, and slaves here as well, you know. But what I see now is that people are getting woke. Maybe it's not to the level that we would like to or want to, or the level that we should be. Because a lot of us are woke.
Right.
We're not interested.
You know what I say about the wokeness or the awakening that we are experiencing? We are, you know, this awakening that we are experiencing because we are, and I want people to try to follow me, we are living in a new dispensation, or we're living in a new age.
Yes.
We left the old age and we enter a new age.
Exactly.
In the age of Pisces. And we have now moved into the age of Aquarius.
Yes.
The age of Aquarius is the age of information.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it the age of information? It's because as we travel throughout the solar system, our solar system now is closer to the Milky Way. So we're getting different light, cold information. And I know I'm losing some people when I say that. But within light is information. And that light that we're getting is waking us up, that we're having those epiphanies that Paul talked about in the book of Corinthians, when he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye,
in the twinkling
you
of
shall
an eye.
Be changed. Okay?
Yeah. In the atomos,
what does that change?
Greek,
it's the epiphany. Something happens in this period of enlightenment, of wokeness, where you just wake up, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never saw it that way before. I never realized it. This is what they've been doing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been right here in front of my face. What's happening? We are waking up, and those that have suppressed us, those that have been the oppressors, the colonizers, are scared to death.
Death. Because some
and
of their children
are
waking up.
Now,
yeah.
Right, even because some of their children are waking up. And that's why they're breaking down. That's why we got a Karen syndrome now. You understand?
Yeah.
You got white people just doing all kind of crazy stuff. I saw one white lady fall out on the floor and start shaking because the black girl was recording her. It was just crazy, the stuff that we said.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Even this whole voter suppression thing that we see going on in the country, what is that about? That is them running scared. They realize that their way is in the old paradigm. So we are not going to get any new people to join our political philosophies because it's old and outdated. So we giving up on trying to bring in new people. We need to focus on stopping or suppressing the
going
other
back.
Side.
Going back
right.
to the way it
so
went.
They want to change the laws. They want to go back. They want to rewrite the laws. They want to put the country in a state of regression to protect white supremacy and to move us closer to Jim Law, but Jim Crow. But that will be a mistake because these are, for lack of a better term, these are new niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they not playing that. They looking for a fight. Don't you see them in the street? We in the street by the thousands. By the thousands. We come into those white neighborhoods, those rural neighborhoods, armed with assault rifle by the thousands, saying what? I dare you to say something. Okay? What we see is we see the police still, you know, trying to scare people with Gestapo tactics. And so what is Gestapo tactics? Those tactics where you have one person that they pull over because, I don't know, he got a busted taillight, and they send seven police cars.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's to scare person. That's to say to you, you have no chance. You have no choice. You will do what we tell you to do, or you will die. That's what that is.
Yeah.
And we need to recognize it for what it is, and we need to recognize that we need to have an institution that can combat it. Not physically, not going out and shooting with guns and stuff like that, because the devil got plenty of guns. That's what they do. You understand? But there's other ways. Spiritual weaknesses is in high places. What are high places?
Yeah.
That's in the thoughts. Okay, that's the fourth dimension. That's where the spiritual weaknesses lie. When you come, by the time you get here, okay, it's being put in reality, but it started in the fourth dimension. Amen, Walls.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we used to say that in church. You know, I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir.
and listen, this choir got a wire to everything.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That's right. I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. So we're excited.
Yeah. It's I'm glad that everything came out today. I can't take stairs. You know, that was the only reason why I wasn't if everything was in Harlem. But but I'm glad that everything turned out, and I will continue to participate
everything,
in any way.
Everything turned out wonderful. We had a great time. It was our first time out. You know, it was our first time doing it on a Zoom platform.
Mm-hmm.
And the Zoom crew, we call them the Zoom crew. The Zoom crew did really, really well. I mean, they managed the rooms. They managed the members. They had the delegates go to the breakout rooms. The delegates to do the deliberations. We had the election. It took longer on the second day than we anticipated, but it turned out really good. I mean, listen, there's always going to be some people who are going to be upset because things didn't go the way that they wanted to go. I mean, that's what conventions are for. That's what happens at conventions. They're always, you know. But we are grateful for unity that we see.
Yeah.
You know, for
that's,
unity
that
we see. That's the thing. The executive council now is truly an international council. We have people on it that's in Africa, people on it that's in Great Britain, that's in the UK. You know, some in Setsumani, some in Addis Ababa. Those of us that are here in the States, you know, so we finally are looking like an international global organization that His Majesty had envisioned.
Envisioned.
And so we're grateful. We got a lot of stuff going on. We want to encourage everybody. Listen, go by the website. The website is off the hook. It's www.EthiopianWorldFederationIncorporated.org. Build the whole name out. So ain't nobody got to get confused. It ain't the EWCWF, EWTWI. You got to write it all out. It's a lot. But once you write it out, copy it and save it so you don't have to go back again. But it's www.EthiopianWorldFederationIncorporated.org. And go by, we got, you know, go by, look at the locals. You'll see the locals that we got there that are now a part of we're moving. I mean, in Kingston, I just got the phone with the people of Jamaica, in Kingston, Jamaica, Montego Bay, Paris, Martinique, Shashimami, Addis Ababa, Manchester, Birmingham, all involved in this unity convention.
Wow.
All involved in this unity convention. So we are ecstatic about what we see happening and coming together. And we just want everybody to be a part. We're over the hour now. We're going to take our commercial break. We're going to pay some bills. Go to the bathroom. Go call your friends. But don't go anywhere. Come right back and listen while we pay our bills. Don't go anywhere.
Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I sign on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained?
Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for Ray's conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRonRobinson, RevRon11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon record-breaking blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment worldwide. Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Was by His Majesty, given to live a life under the law of the King of Kings. Oh, beautiful Jerusalem, if I and I forget thee, may our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouth, you see. It was all a part of our destiny for us to be living the life of Shashamani way. It was ordained for 500 families to live the life, yo, to the highest you see.
Let's manifest this will and build this model city.
One big collaboration.
City to be inherited by 500 families.
Bring it together, hey, y'all.
I got one more just because I haven't heard it in such a long time. Just bear with me, but everybody needs to hear this, brother.
If you like to lose your money, be a fool and bet on Sunny.
Clay comes out to meet Lipson, and Lipson starts to retreat. If Lipson goes back in his father, he'll end up in the rain side of the field. Clay swings with his wealth. Clay swings with his right.
Look at young Cash of Perry the fight. Lipson keeps back, and but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time. Clay comes to move.
I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God put the king on battle, you're going to be the king of the world.
Right. Yes,
I'm the real God.
Yes. Wait a minute, Cassius.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Well, after we get the bear, we will go after the hare.
And who's the hare?
The hare is the rabbit, Claude Patterson.
If you like to lose your money, be a fool and bet on Sunday.
Clay comes out to meet and listen to the retreat. If listen goes back in his father, he'll end up in the rain side of the Clay swings with his wealth. Clay swings with his right. He'll be young cats to carry the fight. Listen, he's backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time. Clay loves the moon.
I don't have a mark on my face. Yeah, I'm upset, son, and listen. And I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world. I talk to God every day. If God's with me, he won't matter. I'm
not
the world.
I'm not the real God.
Wait a minute, Captain. I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man. I shook up the world.
All right. After we get the bear, we're going to go after the hare. You're listening to the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, local number 26, with your host, the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez. She was not with us tonight. She's handling some other business she told me she needed to take care of. But you are stuck with me, yours truly, Dr. J.W. Winborn, talking to you about the Federation and the Ethiopian World Federation and the great and wonderful convention that we just came out of every year, July 16th and 17th. But this year was special, because we had our unity convention and we had people participating via Zoom from all around the world and all across the country. And so we're happy about that. And we just want to shout them out and to thank them for being a part and participating in our unity convention. So certainly, your participation was great. Again, I want to thank the Convention Arrangements Committee and all that they've done. I want to thank the Zoom crew. Of course, Sister Rebecca down in St. Croix. God bless you for all your great work. For this could not have happened without you. We want to thank the chairs and the co-chairs, Ruben Cush, Sister Joan, and Ruben Cush, who is now, we want to congratulate him as our new second vice president. And we want to congratulate Miss Pam Greer, Pam Greer, Pam Marsher, as our new treasurer. And we want to congratulate Miss Linda Zebulon. Linda Zebulon Howard is our executive secretary, our chaplain, Ross Ezekiel out of Addis Ababa. In Ethiopia, our newly elected second vice cousin, Ruben Cush, out of Sushimani, in Ethiopia, there on the land grant. And so we're excited. Emma Young, our new organizer. I don't think I've forgotten anybody. Our elected members, Brother Brown. Anthony Brown, president of Local 144 in Manchester, England, in Manchester. So we're grateful to have him and the others. Forgive me, I don't have my stuff in front of me right now to remember all of the directors that was voted in, and so we thank them. For being a part, forgive me, we'll come back to it. I'm looking for my notes. I don't see my pad. I'm trying to pull it up. But anyway, y'all know who you are. We are just simply grateful for everyone and for everything. Hold on here. Let me see what we got here. Is this it? So that we don't miss anybody. Because you know, once you miss somebody, you get in so much trouble when you miss people. And we don't want that to happen. So let me see if we could get that. Yes, yes. Okay. I think that's Brother Brown and Prophet Elijah and Sister Willetti. Those are our directors. I'm sorry, and Rebecca Russell. I'm sorry, not Elijah, Rebecca Russell, Brown, Russell, and Valencia, our directors. And so we want to congratulate everyone. We want to congratulate everyone on being newly elected. We are so excited. We're looking forward to great, great things. We're looking forward to being there for the people and being able to do their bidding. So we want everyone to keep us in prayer. Nothing is easy. Nothing is easy, and anytime you're doing your work, there's always going to be those that don't like what you're doing. You know, my mother used to tell me that if everybody liked you, you're doing something wrong. Because any leader that's really being honest and fair, there's always going to be somebody who don't like your decision. It's just human nature. It's just the way it is because people just see things from different points of view. No matter how you look at it, there's people that have different perceptions. You know, I mean, if for no other reason, we're different height. So we keep that in mind. Well, we ask that everyone will continue to pray the continued success of the Federation and what we have and what we see coming about. Well, we recognize that the job is big, and that we have a lot still ahead of us. We have a lot still that needs to be done. We have a lot of work that needs to be taken care of. We have a lot of places that we need to go. We have a lot of things that we need to establish as far as for our members are concerned, for the safe and security of our members, that we can have and operate in our right places as high contracting parties. So we are focused and committed on doing these things and making these things happen. And so we want you to be committed with us. We want you to be a part of what's going on. We want you to be a part of where we at and this new wave that's coming down. The future looks bright. As Dr. Robinson said earlier, what we're doing is not about us. We've done most of all that we're going to do. It's not about us, but it's about the future. It's about the kids. It's about our children's children. And so we want everybody that no matter what, we know even though sometimes they get hard, we know even though sometimes opposition comes against us, but you keep your head up.
When your heart is free, it's easy to make a decision. When your head is clear, you know you have good judgment. But when your life is turning topsy-turvy and you have no reasons for what's disturbing,
love.
everybody, welcome back. We want to shout out our locals that participated in the convention on this weekend. We want to give a special shout out to local number two out there in California, local three in the United Kingdom, local number five in St. Croix. We shout you out. Local seven, Port-au-Prince, France, local number eight in Paris, France. Local 12, local 14, and local 12 in Queens, New York, local 14, Sesemani, Ethiopia, local 18 in Washington, D.C., participated, local 23 in Oakland, local 24, Ghana, Africa, welcome and thank you for participating. Local 25 in California, of course, local 26 in Harlem, New York, 32 in Montego Bay, 43 Kingston. We are local 144, our newest chartered local out of Manchester, England, with President Brother Anthony Brown, who's also one of the directors on the Executive Council. We want to also give a special shout out and thank to local and in Addis Ababa, also in Ethiopia. Federation Rising, sure enough, there is no question about that. We are on the right track, and we're headed towards a bigger and greater, a more powerful organization, a more powerful global organization with a more powerful global voice to those that are all around. To let them know that there is a refuge, that there is an answer, there is an umbrella, there is a protection for thee, and that is indeed the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. We're going to open back up the our favorite mic, 914-363, the Great Red Ron, see if he did, if he got any last couple of jewels as we come up on the end of the program here tonight. We want to give everyone an opportunity, especially our resident genius, to hit us with some pearls of wisdom.
Well, okay, when he come on, I'll listen to him too. But people, seriously, I would love to see more outreach in the United States. I'd love to see more brothers and sisters in the United States participate and join in. I would love to see, met some brothers the other day at an affair. They were in their 80s, 85, 87. They were participants back in the Ethiopian World Federation back in the 1940s and 50s. Some of them had the great honor to meet Your Majesty himself, the great Haile Selassie. They met him himself. They were participants and whatever happened. I would like to see another. I was talking to him about, I would love to see a great merging of awakeness of the Federation to our people here and the importance. There's an important reason why he brought it here. And I think the reason he brought it here, because everybody's here. We're all here from the Caribbean, from Africa, from Asia, wherever we're from. Yeah, black people from all over, we're here. I mean, you find black people that you didn't know that they were in Belgium. The only black I thought was in Belgium was chocolate,
Chocolate, but, I know, right?
you know what I'm saying? But we're all over the globe, people grew up there. The brother, Giannis Akokrana, a young brother that played for the Bucks, I believe. He played for the Bucks.
He still played for the Bucks. He's doing his thing. He got one more game.
Yeah,
He's
Greek.
Right.
They call him the Greek freak, but he's Greek. Right. He's probably 100% Greek, but he's if you see him, you wouldn't think he's no different than none of these other young brothers running around here playing basketball. But I'm just saying that to say I would love to see more participation from our young people. I feel we should each mentor a young person into the Federation. I think we should outreach. We should have even maybe a junior Federation or something to start off with, educating our kids about the history, bringing them in. Our children are ready. A young brother, Mr. Vincent Harris Jr. from Georgia, 10 years old. He wrote three books already on his young evaluation, yes, on his young evaluation of slavery, and he's putting it into context, and he's telling young people, you can do it. You can do it. He's, if you ever get the chance, you can hashtag him at Vincent Harris Jr., at Vincent Harris Jr., and check him out. Beautiful young brother. You know, he's out there making these books, and he's encouraging other young people to get out. And his thing is, go do it, you know. I mean, at 10 right. years old, people, go do it. You can do it. Nothing can stop you. And just a wonderful young brother. But I'm saying that our young people are prepared. Love to see a young brother like him in the Federation, okay? That's a future leader. Young brothers right here in Mount Vernon, I see them young brothers here in Mount Vernon. They're doing their thing, politicking and getting around and supporting their politicians here. And they got good ideas and things that they want to see done. So I would love to see us reach out to young people across the diaspora, across the globe, and get them involved. You know, get them studying and get them involved in what we're doing. Get them support as we see Black Lives Matter. All young people. Tremendous structure. They got the social media going on. See, young people will bring young people. Young people know how to connect in social media to young people. They know how to connect to us, older people, through social media, because all of us got a Facebook, a LinkedIn, or Twitter, or Snap, you know, Instagram, whatever you call them things. You know, all of us got something going on because our kids either introduce us to it, or we in business or work in profession got us to do this as well. And jobs today, you know, people have to get on LinkedIn, you know, so to recruit for their corporations and stuff like that. So they go on LinkedIn, they open up their bio, and then they start recruit workers for their companies. So that what I would like to see, a tremendous 2021-22, tremendous outreach to the African-American community. I believe people are ready. They just dormant and just don't know. I think if we let them know, we get social media.
And so that's the key, just to let people know. Because, you know, people have heard, they've heard a little bit about this, they heard of that, but they really don't know. And so I think we have a responsibility to spread this word out to the masses so that we can get the support that we need to get. You're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right when you say that we need to bring in new blood, young people with different visions that's familiar with this technology and social platforms and media that know how to pull things together. You know, they got things now where they get on these big platforms and have a smash parties and whatever and tell everybody to meet us at such and such a place at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or whatever the time may be. And you have hundreds of people show up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just for whatever way from doing that. And so all of these technologies, all of these things that are out there, these tools, we fully planned on using them and implementing them for the Federation to kind of get us to where we need to get to.
You know, something we overlooked was the colleges and universities, Black study students that have Black organizations. You know what I mean? I remember when I was in college, I was the president of the Third World Caucus. And our job was SUNY and CUNY. We were responsible to make sure that affirmative action programs was implementing all the SUNYs and all the CUNYs. And shout out to all my, you know, people, shout out their fraternity. I didn't join a fraternity, but I was the president of the Third World Caucus. Shout out to all my brothers and sisters in Third World Caucus Club. We went from college to college, from university to university, and wherever there was racism, wherever there was implementation of dismissal of affirmative action, we ran down there as young people, and we fought, and we got so many different colleges to implement programs. I was Albany State University. We fought there. I was in Johnstown. Community college, Montgomery Community College in Johnstown. We fought there. I was in Lehman College, the first college I went to at 15 years old, and we fought there as well. And young people are still doing these organizations. They're still a part of it. I know they will have you, the Honorable Mr. President, they will have you come in as a guest speaker because they're looking for leadership. They're looking for people in the colleges to come in and talk about the history. Our college students are fighting to get curriculum corrected. You know, and we need to support them, you know, and they're fighting for, you know, in the colleges is one of the places that we do not look at in terms of civil rights and black live movements, but the black students movement should happen as well. They matter. You know, the students in the universities and colleges, especially in the CUNYs and the SUNYs and all across this country, the historical black colleges, they invite speakers as well, and they would love to know about the Federation. I mean, there's so many young people that know about it. They just don't understand it. There was a wonderful young brother that I met probably in 2018 convention. And, you know, he was a young cat. I don't know what happened to him. He was running around. He was working in a Federation, and he was getting young people involved. And we need to just have that division, someone who can, you know, a marketing person or whatever you want to call it, a populations or whatever they call those people, media person, that could reach out to our young folks. It's time. It's time. Time is ready. What that old saying in the Bible, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. What is time?
The labor is a few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Time to go out and do it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And people, let's keep going. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep it going. Don't get slow. What the Bible says, don't get weary and well doing.
Don't get weary and well doing, for you shall receive a just reward.
And see, he knows everything. Did I tell you this man's a genius? I couldn't finish that, but you see, I just want to give y'all a little tidbit, and he giving y'all all the gravy and the rice and the peas and everything, you know.
my bad, I get catty away sometimes.
Oh, listen, brother, I wish you could come to me someplace when I'm preaching, and I can just say, well, John said, and he going to say the rest. Oh man, yeah man. Serious
man,
things.
Listen,
like my brothers in Jamaica say, serious things.
Well, everybody, listen, we're coming to a close. We want to thank everybody for participating. Those that called into the queue, those of you that are listening, again, we want to encourage you to go by our main site for the Ethiopian World Federation is www.ethiopianworldfederationincorporated.org. You cannot forget it, Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated.org. We thank you. We appreciate you, everybody. We look forward to you coming back with us. And go by the website. Look at what we're doing. Click on the button for the different locals. We're there, local number 26. Click and check us out. Peace, everybody. Good night. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you again on next Sunday at the same time.
Behold! Work of Emperor Haile Selassie. How great it is to glorify the name of the King. Yeah, rally round,
yeah.
Rally round, Shashamane. Rally round, Shashamane. Rally round, Shashamane.
harmony. It was the land given to us by His Majesty, given to live a life under the law of the King of Kings. Oh, beautiful Jerusalem, if I and I forget thee, may our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouth, you see. It was all a part of our destiny for us to be living the life of Shashamani way. It was ordained for 500 families to live the life, yo, is the highest you see.
Let's manifest His will and build His modesty.
One big collaboration.
Build